to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. Now, if you don't know where the book of Hosea is, go right to the right of Daniel and you'll find the book of Hosea. So you find the major prophets, you know, Isaiah and Ezekiel, and then Jeremiah, and then on a few more you'll find the book of Daniel, and then you can find the book of Hosea directly after that. And whenever you found that, if you're able, you can stand in reverence to the Word of God. I understand we can stand. You can sit in reverence to the Word of God too. So however you feel. And we'll read a few verses there in chapter 3 of the book of Hosea. And this is something the Lord's laid on my heart. And He laid it on my heart probably, I don't know, probably about 6 weeks ago, and something I've been dealing with and listening to and trying to prepare myself to preach. And then this morning I didn't think I was going to preach it, but this is what He wants this morning, so we'll be obedient to Him this morning. So Hosea in chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee." You may be seated. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God, for another time to be able to come into your house. We ask you, Lord, to help us this morning in this message, Lord. Help me, God, to be an unction in the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, let me say nothing that brings any glory to self or anybody else, Lord, but save to Jesus and Him alone. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. Lord, help your people in here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe personally that the book of Hosea has one of the most beautiful love stories in all of the Bible. And you'll find that in the book of Hosea, and I'm going to try to go back to chapter 1 and work it up and try to let you know what took place in the backdrop of the book of Hosea. But you'll find that in the book of Hosea, from chapter 1, it goes from rejecting love, it goes to restoring love, and then it goes to redeeming love. It goes all the way through the book, there at the book of Hosea, all the way to chapter 3. And in order to understand the book of Hosea, one must understand the background against which the book was written. Now, the book of Hosea was written by the prophet whose name it bears. And the word Hosea, the name Hosea, means literally salvation. It means salvation. And the name Hosea can be derived back to the name Joshua, which can be derived directly to the name Jesus in the New Testament. And so salvation, and this book is literally a message of salvation to a spiritually bankrupt people. It's to a spiritually bankrupt people during the time of Hosea's ministry. Israel was a very prosperous nation materialistically, but they enjoyed peace politically. They enjoyed a good military. They enjoyed all that, but they were morally bankrupt. Verse 1, chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. You can read all of those type things right there, and you can read about all those kings and find that those kings are pretty well-known kings. You got people like Joash, people like Ahaz, people like Hezekiah, who God gave 15 more years to upon his life. I mean, you're talking about Uzziah. There's a bunch of people there, but if you read that in the verse 1 in our text, though, it said, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet that adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who loved the other God, looked to other gods, and loved flagons of wine." There in that text, it describes their spiritual condition. They are said to look at other gods. They are said to look to other gods. They are said to love flagons of wine. And among the other gods, they look into the Canaanite god, Baal.
The Canaanite god Baal and the worship of Baal and his consort or his sidekick Ashtaroth, you can read all about those if you want to. It involves acts so vile that I would not, in the honor of my flesh, be able to tell y'all what took place in that life or describing them. But just suffice it to say that Israel was guilty of great spiritual evil that they lived in this time of the backdrop of Hosea. And while the people of Israel had no real love for God or for His word or for His worship, but when a prophet showed up, they were very interested in his actions. In what took look in the life of Hosea, look in the life of Joel, look in the life of all these major prophets from Israel, from Isaiah to Ezekiel, to Jeremiah and to Daniel and into Obadiah and in all of these prophets' lives. But that is often why God illustrates and uses the personal lives of the prophets to illustrate His relationship with Israel. Has anybody ever noticed that? Notice that almost in every single major prophet and minor prophet book, you can find that God uses their personal life to demonstrate His relationship with His people. And that's what He's doing here in this text. He's showing His relationship to Israel. And you'll find in the book of Song of Solomon, that's a very tremendous way of looking at things. It goes very intimate in the Song of Solomon. And you see so many different things that take place in that book. But in this book, it's the case of that God is using their personal relationship and their personal life of a husband and a wife in the relationship between Him and His people. And so through this family, God will reveal His love for His wayward people. His wayward people. Now in Hosea's relationship with Gomer, we're allowed to see, though, a very wonderful portrait, if you will, of the redemption we have in Christ today. We have in Christ. Now understand this morning, I know that we're not Israel. And I know that the church, I want to say this for the internet crowd too, so I don't get hung on the cross. Listen, I know that Israel and the church are not the same. I know that the church was not replaced by Israel, and I know that Israel was not replaced by the church. So just to get that out of the way, I know where we stand. Y'all know me better than that this morning. I just want to take these verses that the Lord has given me this morning and read what we have today and preach on this thought. Not just love, but redeeming love. Not just love, but redeeming love. Notice three amazing things this morning in our passage that Christ has surely not only displayed towards Israel and not only Hosea to Gomer, but also He's displayed it from Him to you and I this morning. Amen. Number one, notice in verse number one of chapter 3, and we read it a few times. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel who love to look, who look on other gods and love flagons of wine. Notice a loving pursuit. A loving pursuit. Number one, a loving pursuit. Now I want you to know Gomer's lifestyle first. To understand the depth of Hosea's love, we must first understand something of Gomer's life. When Gomer first appeared in Hosea chapter 1, verse number 2, the Bible says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and of children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And so He's telling them to go get a wife, and she is called the wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Now don't get me wrong, and don't take this wrong, and don't look at the Bible wrong, because it could easily be done. This is not meant that God commanded Hosea to marry a prostitute. That's not what this is talking about. what this is talking about is Gomer. Most likely, Gomer was a chaste woman. Most likely, when Hosea was going to marry her, Gomer was a chaste woman. But the phrase, a wife of whoredom, simply means that she was an Israelite. She was an Israelite. She was something, it means that she was a product of a society, a meaning that she had been raised in idolatry and rebellion against God. And that's what this is talking about, a wife of whoredoms. At first, Hosea's marriage to Gomer must have been a happy time for both of them. God blessed them. God blessed their union by giving him a son whom they named Jezreel. That's in verse 4. Then the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And we're getting somewhere, I promise you. And by the time, but by the time we get to our text, however, Gomer is called an adulteress. Y'all read that? But also, Hosea in chapter number 2 in verse 5, the Bible says, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lover that give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink. In other words, Gomer is a prostitute. She's committed adultery while she was with Hosea. Then she left him for another man. Now it appears that her new lover is finished with her and has put her up for sale. You'll find that in chapter 3 and verse 2. She's put up for sale at this point in time. And the glimpse in Gomer's lifestyle is a clear picture of what sin produces in every life it touches. Y'all know sin don't stay small. A lifestyle of unrepentant sin brings pleasure at the time, but eventually it leads to ruin. It leads to devastation. It leads to destruction. It leads to death is what it does. Sin always leaves a mark, and it always will eventually lead to hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can look at, therefore all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what's the glory of God? Jesus is the glory of His Father. He's the glory of God, and we've all come short of Him. We've come short of the law. We've come short of Him. He fulfilled the law, but we come short of it. And by the way, no one gets away with sin. There's always a price to pay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's simple. I tell you, we got to deal with some things. Gomer's lifestyle. Then notice, secondly, Gomer's lust. According to Hosea in chapter 1, verse 6, and she conceived again and bare daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-ruhamah. Now you have to understand, I'm country. Lo-ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horse, nor by horseman, nor now when she had weaned Lo-ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. See, what has taken place here is that Gomer was guilty of committing adultery against Hosea. The child born in verse 6 was named Lo-ruhamah. And this name means no mercy. It means no mercy. And the child in verse 9, Lo-ami, and that, now that word, that means not my people. Not my people. Lo-ami means my people, and Lo is not. And what's striking about the three references there that I found as I was studying, there's three references of Gomer's pregnancies, right? She was verse 6, verse 8, and verse 9. And the contrast between verse 3 and verse 6 and verse 9, in verse 3, the Bible says something clear. The Bible, it says in verse number 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son.
Everybody notice that?
Yeah.
She conceived. That's what it says. She conceived. I mean, it tells us in verse number 3 that which conceived and bare him a son. Verse 6, the Bible says, and she conceived and bare a daughter. Yep. See where it's going? Verse number 8, now when she had weaned Lurema, she conceived and bare a son. Yep. Says it 2 times. Yep. Now, the implication is clear, but I'm not 100% struck on this, but I want you to get this, is that she was guilty of committing adultery, and the first child was Hosea's. But the next two weren't Hosea's. Isn't that something? The next two weren't Hosea's. Chapter number 2 and verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon. What's the next two words? Anybody see that? Her children. For they have been the children of whoredoms. Gomer was guilty of violating her marriage vows and became a traitor against Hosea through adultery. And eventually, Gomer abandoned the family to pursue her lust and sin. And of course, Gomer's actions are a picture of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. And they lusted after the gods of the Canaanites. And they began to abandon the God of their fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And again, Gomer is a picture of a lost sinner. Amen. Amen. Just like Gomer, those who are lost in their sin pursue their own lust and care nothing about the God who loves them. Oh my. Left to themselves, the lost sinner will never seek God. It takes the Spirit of God drawing them, right? Amen. Gomer's lifestyle or lust. And notice Gomer's lover. In spite of how she hurt him. In spite of how she has treated her children. In spite of how she has lived her life. Hosea still loves her. Are y'all getting what I'm putting out? Hosea still loves her. He's told in verse 1, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend. Go yet love a woman. Go yet love a woman. That phrase simply tells us, show her again how much you love her. Show her again. Show her one more time. Then the Bible said, beloved of her friend, I'm yet an adulteress. This phrase simply tells us that she is a woman who loves another man and is still guilty of adultery. She's in that adultery. And when Hosea receives the command to go after Gomer, guess what he does? He doesn't say, Lord, I'm not going to do that. But he does not hesitate. He goes. He goes. Why? He goes after her because he loves her. He loves her so much. He loved her before she fell into sin. And he loves her in spite of her sin. Oh my. Oh my. His love is so great that he's willing to do whatever it takes to bring her back to himself. That's what he wants to do. He sought her out. Y'all getting that? He sought her out. What a picture this is of the awesome love of God for sinners. That he sought us out, beloved. He sought us out. I was on the mountain wandering from the fountain. And then my Savior came to me. Hey, of my sin repenting. I came to him relenting. Of my sin repenting. And then he pulled me out where I could see, and I'm so glad that he found me. In his love he found me, friend. There's so much about it. Did you know that nobody had to tell God to love you? Amen. Hey, he loved you before you were born. He loved you when you were an innocent child. He loved you when you chose sin over righteousness. He still loved you. Listen, nothing can make him stop pursuing to bring you back to him. Nothing.
Listen, please, just come home. I wanted to title it that, but I couldn't. Please, just come home. No matter what, God loves you. The God, the Bible teaches us that God loves sinners, and I find that truth amazing. That God should love us who cannot love Him first is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. The only reason we love Him is because He first loved us. That's what 1 John chapter 4. Amen. Thank God for a loving pursuit. Amen. Secondly, notice verse number 2. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer and a half of barley and a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. Excuse me. Notice a lavish purchase. A lavish purchase. There was a loving pursuit when he sought her out. This woman was once free with a loving husband. Now we see when Hosea finds Gomer, she has been sold into slavery. She has probably been sold as a prostitute. And she is a far cry from the woman she was when Hosea fell in love with her and married her sometime years ago. Imagine the scene that took place there, y'all. Imagine that scene that took place there. Hosea searches the country for Gomer, and eventually he finds her in a slave market. Now imagine it. Get inside of my mind for a minute. Imagine he's sitting there and he finds her in that slave market and it's for sale. She's for sale to the highest bidder, by the way. She's for sale to the highest bidder. And when he sees her, he does not hate her. He does not hate her at all. He does not turn away and abandon her to live a life of sin and a life of wickedness. No, it must have broken his heart to see Gomer in such a condition like that. I can only imagine Hosea did not do what he should have done, what we would have done, but he did what he had to do, and he went to that place. And could you just imagine it? You hear the auctioneer shout out, "Do we have five silver pieces? Do we have 5 pieces of silver? Do we have all of those things? Do I have 5 pieces of silver? Do I have 10 pieces of silver? 10 going once, 10 going twice. Do we have 11 pieces of silver?" Some man in the back says, "We have 11 pieces of silver." It goes on. "Now we have 12 pieces of silver. Now we have 13 pieces of silver." And then we go on. And he says, "I have 14 pieces of silver." Somebody else hollers from the back and he says, "That's a good price, going once, going twice." And then right before the gavel ever hits the thing, she hears the unmistakable voice, a voice that's very recognizable to her. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's very recognizable. Anywhere she could understand that voice. And he said from the back, he said, "I'll give 15 pieces of silver, and I'll give you half of a homer of barley and a full homer of barley." And then all of that kind of stuff takes place, and her heart skips a beat, and she said, "That's my beloved. That's who I love. That's the voice of not just love. That's the voice of redeeming love." Amen. Notice some particulars about Hosea's lavish purchase. He comes there. She's on the auction block. Her head's down low. She don't understand. And she's thinking in her mind, "I had a husband who loved me at home, but I left him." Notice Hosea's price. Hosea's price. "So I bought her to me 15 pieces of silver and a homer of barley and half homer of barley." We're told that Hosea bought her. Now you understand, Hosea already sought her out. Now he bought her out. Amen. The standard price of a slave in those days in Exodus chapter 21, the standard price was 30 shekels of silver. 30 shekels of silver. Evidently, as I was beginning to study on this, Hosea does not possess that much money. And so he pays half of the price in cash, and he pays the rest of the half of the price in barley, in the cheapest of grains, by the way. Barley was a grain used by the very poor as food in that time and by others to make feed for animals. And so this purchase costs Hosea more than his money. Y'all getting that, right? It cost him more than it also cost him his pride. It cost him his pride. He had to go into a public forum and be before a crowd of witnesses. He had to purchase unto himself a woman who had betrayed him many times. Yet that is exactly what he does. He willingly paid the whole price to redeem Gomer from a life of slavery. Hosea's actions here are a picture of what God has done for the lost sinner. Just like Gomer, the lost are slaves to sin, but God in His great grace and His great mercy came into the world and gave Himself a sacrifice for our sins. He gave more than 30 pieces of silver, friend. He gave us His very life. He gave us the very life of God, shedding His blood as the purchase price on Calvary. Amen. He poured it all out, y'all. All he had, every bit of it, he willingly suffered the pain, he suffered the shame, he suffered the public humiliation, he even got the spiritual separation from God to redeem these people. That's why he done it, y'all. I mean, to redeem us from our sins, he got separated. And when he got separated from the Father, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But when he paid for our sin debt and got back in good communion with the Father, he said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Separation. Separation, friend. He endured all of that so that he might make a lavish purchase and redeem his people from the slavery of their sins. That's good stuff, y'all. Amen. Hosea's price, Hosea's possession, bought her to me. So I bought her to me. Gomer already belonged to Hosea by the virtue of marriage, by the way. But now she is his completely. Because he had purchased her. How about that? You know, she is already his because he sacrificed everything to make her exclusively his. And I want you to understand something. The name Hosea, it means salvation. The name Gomer, it means completely. It means completely. She was completely lost in her sins. Completely lost in her sins. Now she is completely loved. She's completely forgiven. She's completely redeemed. By grace. It was nothing but grace that got her to that point. But the same is true when God redeems a people. When God saves a sinner, that sinner becomes his possession. Amen. It might be your body, but it's his temple. Right. Somebody say amen there. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19-20, it tells you it's his temple, friend. He says he bought us out to be a peculiar people, a zealous of good works, a peculiar people. You know what that word peculiar means? It means a jewel. You'll find in the book of Malachi chapter number 4 that God is one day going to send his son to come get his jewels, by the way, and we are his jewels. Precious stones, precious jewels, that's what we are. We are a peculiar people. We are set aside. We're separated, and that's how it ought to be, friend. Not only does God redeem the sinner, the Father is far more intimate than that. God becomes the personal Father of that person. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he says, Beloved, now you can be called the sons of God, the sons and the daughters of God. There's something like that, friend. And by the way, this is an eternal transaction. You say, where does the Bible say that? Well, John chapter 10, verse 28 says that once you're in the Father's hands, you cannot be plucked out of the Father's hands. And so when we're in that hand, is an eternal possession. Amen. I'm glad about it. If you stop and think about the price God paid to redeem you and to redeem me, how can we turn a deaf ear to it? How can we not worship Him about it? How can we not do that? Friend, when you consider how much He loves you, what keeps you from coming to Him? Amen. How can you not bow before Him in love and in obedience and in gratitude? Beloved, listen, He sought us out and He bought us out, thank God. All the glory to God. He's the only one that can do it. And if you think that you aren't worth much, if you think that you aren't worth much, just remember what God thinks about you.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You're His. Twice His. Amen. You're His. First, you're His because He made you. You're His on the right of creation. Amen, friend. And second, you're His because He bought you on the cross. He paid for your sin. And He paid a price to redeem you. People that didn't want to be redeemed, He did that. He did that. You're His by right of redemption, and you're His by right of creation. This is not just love, friend. It's redeeming love. Amen. Number three, and I'm done. A loving pursuit, a lavish purchase, and lastly, a lasting purpose. Now I want you to understand verse 3. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Why did Hosea do this? Why did Hosea do this? Well, one reason is he did this to obey the clear command of God. The clear command of God. Another reason was that he just simply loved Gomer. He loved her. I think another reason has to do with Hosea wanting to make a difference in Gomer's life. And when he redeemed her, that's exactly what he did. Y'all getting this tight? That's exactly what he did. Thus it is with Jesus. When Jesus comes into our life for salvation, when God saves a soul, He does it because He loves us. Let me just be clear about something, okay? God does not need you. He never has needed you. He don't need your help in fulfilling His plan, and He don't need my help in fulfilling His plan. But you know what? He wants you. And when He has such a desire of wanting you, it makes it to a point that He wants to use you for His glory. And so that's how it works. He don't need you, but He wants you. I'm thankful He wanted me. Amen. And when He redeemed her, He wanted to do something different in her life. And you know, He also, God, when God saves a soul, He does it because He has a desire to deliver us from the bondage of our sin. You know, we all were in bondage of sin. If you're still lost here this morning, you're in bondage of sin. You say, I don't sin that much. Well, you're still in bondage of sin. You are a bond slave to that sin. It owns you. Simple. Simple as that. Notice how this made a clear story in the life of Hosea and the life of Gomer. Notice there's a new character. Now, Hosea tells Gomer, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot. This implies that Hosea expects Gomer to be different, right? He expects her to be different. The woman Hosea is taking home is not to live where he brought her from, where he bought her from, right? He's not supposed to live out there on the slave block anymore. She can't live on the slave block. Hosea tells her that her will be different from this point forward. And this is just what Jesus does when He saves the soul. Exactly. He transforms us. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When Jesus comes into your life, friend, there's something that happens. He transforms you into a new creature. The Spirit of God is now on the inside of you, indwelling you. Did you know that?
Yes.
And when Jesus left this earth, He said, I'm very paraphrasing here. Don't you worry. I'm sending you a comforter back.
Holy Spirit fell down on there at the ascension, at the upper room. The Spirit indwelled people. And that from that point forward, we've had an indwelling Spirit. Why did Jesus have to go? Why couldn't He send the Spirit? Because we have the same Spirit that's inside Him. When He was here upon this earth, He had that same Spirit inside Him. He was flesh, but He was all God. Tell you something. Those who come to Jesus are also born again. Is that right? The Bible says, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3, you must be born again. John chapter 3 and verse 7, you must be born again. You have to be born again. You cannot meet Jesus and stay like you were. Amen, friend. He is a life-changing Savior. Amen. That's the truth. There's a new character. There's a new commitment. The Bible says, Hosea tells her in the end part of that verse, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. My friend, this tells us that, it tells me that not only did He sought her out, and He bought her out, but also He brought her out. Amen, friend. That's good right there. Amen. He brought her out. This verse is full of meaning. I'm not going to break down much of it, but I tell you, it's full of meaning. And Hosea is telling Gomer that he expects her to live a new life of chastity, a new life of chaste living. For a long time, Gomer had been an object of lust. That's all she'd been. An object of lust. She had been a sexual tool, if you will. Could I say that? It's okay. Men had used Gomer and used her to be an object of lust and to gratify their own lust inside of their being. But now that she has been redeemed, Hosea is bringing her home to heal. To heal. I tell you something, friend. What we got to look at is there's so much in this verse that He is telling her. He's basically telling her that I'm not bringing her home, that I can gratify her sexual lust within myself, that I can do something. He said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. What I'm doing is that I'm bringing her home so she can heal, so she can feel safe, so she can feel honored, so she can feel loved. That's what I'm bringing her to. Satan used to deceive us so much. Hosea also wants Gomer to know that her days of loose living have ended. Right. Amen. She is not to be for another man. That's what the Bible says. Her redemption and the love of her husband are not to be taken lightly. He has paid a high price to redeem her, and she is to respect that. Right. Remember, Hosea is a type of Christ. She's to respect that, exactly. She belongs to Hosea and she don't belong to no other man. Right. Hallelujah. What a picture. God does not save us so that He might gratify some personal ramification or personal passion. But God does not save us that He might do that kind of stuff. He saves us to deliver us from our sin and to give us a new life in Jesus Christ. And He expects that we will be His alone until we get to heaven. There is within the heart of every child of God a desire to live for the Lord who saved them. There is. And when it dawns on us what we were before, when we were in our sins, where we were headed to, and what God has done for us by saving us, there will be a pulling in His direction, friend. I'll tell you that. We'll love Him because He first loved us. New commitment, new character. And lastly, there's a new companion. I would imagine that when Hosea sacrificed his money, his time, and his dignity to purchase Gomer, she began to see him through different eyes. Evidently, she had grown tired of their relationship and she had abandoned their home. And now, he has proven his love for her. I want you to notice something. Chapter 2. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 2, Plead with your mother. Plead. Verse 1. Say ye unto your brethren, Emmy, and to your sisters, Rahamah, plead with your mother, plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Listen, you know what that's talking about right there? That word plead in the New Testament is the same word as Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 14 to go out to the highways and hedging and compel them to come in. That word plead simply means to go up to her and say, Mama, please, please, Mama, would you come home? We miss you at home. Mom, please, I miss you. And how she's doing this in that point of time is in the new companion and the new thing is that he's sending her sons out to go find her. And then on a little farther, you find here she is in this place of companionship. He has proven her love for her, and no doubt she has a new love for him. How about that? Amen. There is no record after this moment of any discord in the family of Homer and the family of, Gomer and Hosea. There's no discord whatsoever in this. Their marriage has been restored and their family has been reunited together. Their marriage. Think about that. What we see here is the perfect, absolute picture of commitment on the part of both sides. Amen. Husband and the wife. So it is with the child of God. He saved us to have a committed relationship. Y'all realize that? Right. Amen. He forever joins himself to us. And what we need to realize, friend, we got to be committed to him. That he didn't just show us love. He showed us redeeming love. There's something more than just love. There's redeeming love. You and I, beloved, listen, you and I have been held captive to sin. But Christ has purchased our pardon and set us at liberty. Y'all realize that? When a person has a life-changing experience, he wants to sing, redeem, redeem, redeem. Oh, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed. Y'all are redeemed. If you're saved in here this morning, you're redeemed. Nothing in this world amazes me as much as the love of God does. That he would love people just like me and just like you. And save us just because we took him at his word. That's astonishing. It's amazing. That's absolutely wonderful. He sought us out in a loving pursuit. He bought us out in a lavish purchase. And he brought us out in a lasting purpose. Amen. Ain't you glad about that this morning? The least we can do is just thank him for it. That's the least we can do, friend. Let me just ask you something this morning. Have you ever experienced not just love, but the redeeming love? You ever experienced the not just love, but the redeeming love? And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Come here, play on the guitar. If you have, you know what I'm talking about this morning. But if you haven't, I invite you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. Hey, you don't know if tomorrow's going to be here. Right? If you come to him, he'll save you. You believe that? Anybody believe that in here? I believe it. I've seen it myself. I believe he'll save a person lost in their sins. He'll change their life. Because this love, it's not just love. It's redeeming love. That's changing out a life for a life. Y'all realize that, right? In the Old Testament, they could redeem one dove for another dove. We went through that this morning. They redeem one bird because of another bird. They could redeem one lamb for another lamb. You'll find that later on. There's so much that takes place, but what has to happen in this life is Christ came to redeem us in our sins, and he exchanged his life for our life. Man, that's good, y'all. You can stand to your feet this morning. I'm done. I don't know if you just want to thank him. I'm thankful for the life that God has done to us.
I mean, what a loving Savior He is. I don't understand it. I am absolutely undeserving. All the things I've done in my past, I don't deserve to stand here and talk to you guys. I deserve to be in hell. But I'm thankful for what He's done for me. I'm thankful for this life that He lived for me.